With me tonight to Mark chapter number 9. This is Father's Day, and I'd like to think about the greatest thing that your father has done for you. And we read in the Bible here in Mark chapter 9, we read about a father. And I am sure that that this son would say the greatest thing that ever happened in his life that his father did for him was to bring him to Jesus. Jesus went on the Mount of Transfiguration, and the Bible says, and when he came to his disciples, he came down to the mountain, and he came to his disciples. He saw a great multitude about them, verse 14, and the scribes questioning with them, and straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And when he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered and said unto them, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tare him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oftentimes they have cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore, and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was coming to the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing, but by prayer and fasting. Well, greatest thing that this father did for this son was to bring him to Jesus Christ. Each one of us have an opportunity to give our children a spiritual legacy. Now, many of us that are here are first-generation Christians. We were not given that. Our fathers did not give us a spiritual legacy. And because of that, we do not have the great privileges that our children do. You know, I think of, I was thinking of my dad today. I think of how my dad was a hard worker. And I think as a teenager, I remember my brother and I getting together and concluding that my dad was crazy, that he worked too hard, and we were never, ever going to do that. My dad worked with wood. My dad did building. My dad loved his garden. My dad had a great effect upon my life. You know, our dads have a great effect upon us. I was thinking today of different people, how they have an effect upon our life. I was thinking of different teachers that I had, different pastors. I remember Pastor Teasdale's funeral. One of his children talked about their dad, and he said, "My dad said, God never changes, and I'm not going to change." I like that. He had, he was a faithful man. I think of my professor in seminary, my church history, pastoral theology, preaching homiletics professor, Dr. Eugene Peterson. He was here in our church. And I thought about, well, what did he do in my life? I think the thing that he did in my life was he imparted to me the concept of the simplicity of the New Testament church. A truth that I hang on to, that is a great truth. Really, it's the truth of how you have biblical revival. Simplicity of the New Testament church. And we can think of a lot of other people. I thought about Dr. Weeks at Maranatha. He was always telling all the students, get a library, buy books. And I have a library because of one man's influence. And he said, whatever you do, buy books. Remember my year of seminary in the THM program? Our bills were $10 more a week than our income. But I still managed to buy $2,000-$3,000 worth of books that year. Because I was told that books were important. You know, people have a great impact upon our life. And we have a tremendous opportunity as fathers to give children a spiritual legacy. My grandpa, my dad always used to say, there's two kinds of people in the world, the Welsh and those that wish they were. And I always talked about Wales. And God used that in Josh's heart to put a burden for the land of Wales and to go there with the gospel. You know, we have an impact on people's lives. And the greatest impact that we can have is a spiritual one. And you know, as Christians, we have an opportunity to impact our children in ways that we have not been impacted. I think of the privilege that other people that I know have had by being in a Christian home. And I think of myself as a young man getting saved at 18. And I think of, I went to Bible college, had no connections. No connections. Didn't know, I knew one pastor, had no connections. We were an unsaved family, except for me. We had no spiritual Christian friends, no Christian connections, no knowledge of anything in the spiritual world. I went there without any legacy. Really had very few people ever mentor me as a Christian. And I came into Christian world without a lot of impact on my life except what God did. But you know, we can make an impact upon our own children. We can give them something that is spiritual, that will equip them for life in a very special way. And I thought of just sharing some practical truths with you tonight. It's not a it's really not a expository message. But, you know, as we think of this passage of Scripture, what did this father do for this son? He brought him to Jesus Christ. And, you know, how is it that he gave him to, he brought him to Jesus Christ? Because he was a man of faith. Now, he was like us. Many times we don't have enough faith, but he had enough faith to bring him to Jesus Christ. Now, you have to put it in the setting of the New Testament. The religious people were not going up and down the roads praising Jesus Christ. The original religious establishment was plotting how that people who would recognize Jesus Christ, someday they're going to be kicked out of the synagogues. They were not happy with the Lord Jesus Christ. The religious establishment, his own family, they said he is beside himself. In other words, he's nuts. You know, you need to think about that. I was reading the other day, it just reminded, you know, John Wesley. All the newspapers said John Wesley was nuts. He's crazy. He's gone berserk. You know, the public has a real cry of negativity, and there's plenty of scorners in the world. But this man had to overcome the scorners. This man had to come, the pious religious people who opposed Jesus Christ. And he had to come to a point where he decided that he was going to go to this Jesus Christ. And he was going to take his son. And the greatest thing that ever happened in that son's life was that his father took him to Jesus Christ. As we were talking about Borka in Najkanesia, she's, I think she's 18 years of age, might be 19. And Tonda referenced her. She will always remember the rest of her life the fact that her dad hired a lady to work for him in the forest. And this lady, by the way, she did wear a dress working in the forest. This lady kept talking to him about the love of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And he would come home and tell his family, this girl is talking about God and is talking about the love of God. And his family's interest was aroused. And this father decided that he was going to go to that church. And on that first Sunday, he took his teenage daughter and carried her up the stairs because she could not walk. And she had missed already 2 years of high school because she could not walk. And very sickly, very weak. You would never know it if you looked at her today. That she was a rebel, that she was selfish, that she was unthankful, that she was in the world, that she was cutting herself. Because she was being influenced by demons and rock music. But, you know, her dad brought her to church. And her dad got saved. He led the pathway. And he came back home and told his family that he had gotten saved. And they saw a change in their dad. They saw a dramatic change in his life. Immediately. And of course, Borka the next week got saved. But why? Because her dad led the way. Her dad listened to this young lady, and her dad accepted Jesus Christ and brought the family with him to church. You know, a spiritual legacy. You know, faith is an important thing. Faith is an important thing. And our children need to have faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. The Bible says, to him that believeth, all things are possible. You know, that's a great, it would be a great thing for a child to say, you know what, my dad had great faith. And have in their minds the memories of decisions and of faith. And that's the theme of our campout is going to be faith in your family. Having faith. And I hope you'll go if you can. Great faith. I remember at Dr. Shearholm's funeral, can't think of the right word today, but the one who followed him said, one thing that I admired about Dr. Shearholm was his simple, childlike faith. Great faith to trust God for great things. No, we need to have faith. And, you know, there's a real battle about faith. Trusting God. Doing what's right because God said so. And letting God work. Going forward by faith. You know, men, we need to be men of faith. That leaves a legacy to our children. You know, we live in a day of figuring it out. We live in a day in which very little things are accomplished by God's people because they have very little faith. They have very little ability to trust God for big decisions in their life. And they're always holding back. Indecisive. You know, the curse of indecisiveness is because of a lack of faith. To trust God, to obey Him, to do what's right just because it's right. Faith. I was thinking of some other great truths in the Bible. What can we give our children? We can give our children the legacy of faithfulness. A faithful man, the Bible says, who can find? It means they're rare. They're rare. The Bible says, the things which thou hast heard of me, this same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. You know, I was thinking about the people of Naj Kanesha, and I don't know if I got to tell them or not, but I said, you know, one of the best things you can do is be faithful. One of the best things you can do to change your life and to build your life and to become what you ought to be is be faithful. Be faithful to Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Be faithful to every service of the Lord's house. They that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. You know, faithfulness builds solid people. And solid people are faithful. And our children need to have that sense of faithfulness. I think of Mrs. Teasdale's father, Mr. Hollerood, and I've given this illustration. I knew Mr. Hollerood when he was about 80 years of age, and he had lived for the Lord all his life, and he got to a place where he was completely deaf, and he was up in age. He could not hear a thing, and it took him about 3 hours to get ready for church. He was very feeble. And yet he went to Bible Baptist Church in Hudson, Wisconsin. And you know what? He was there every Sunday morning. He was there every Sunday night. And as far as I know, he was there every Wednesday night. And people said to him, why did you go to church? You didn't get anything out of it. You couldn't hear a thing. He said, I wanted to be a good example. And besides, it's the Lord's house. Amen. And then, you know, you think, well, man, no wonder a lady like Mrs. Teasdale was so faithful all these years because she had a faithful dad. It was just the legacy that a parent can give to a child. A legacy of faithfulness. You know, we think of bank accounts and we think of this and we think of that. And, you know, people have all these ideas about, well, you know what? And you have people that are teaching their child, you know, how to bounce a ball at 1 year of age and those things. And, you know, they're thinking, boy, I'm going to give my child something. Wait a minute. What about giving him something that really counts? You know, that's how Christians ought to think. Give our children a legacy. Give them the gift of influence. The influence of faithfulness. You know what? It changes lives. It changes lives. It makes a difference. You know, a child that's grown up in a home where mom and dad are faithful to church no matter what, it makes a difference. They're given something. You know, we're giving them something. I'm thinking of a great thing, the love of the truth. You know, it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 10, I think it's appropriate phrase for the last days. And books have been written with that title, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 10. And it says about those who follow the Antichrist and are deceived, it says, and with all deceivableness of unrighteous in them that perish because they received not the love of the truth. Isn't that interesting? In the last days, these multitudes that will follow after Satan are people who do not have a love for the truth. And certainly that is a characteristic of the days in which we live. There is a lack of the love of truth. You know, people are pragmatic today. You know, people are selfish. People believe what they want to believe so they can live the way they want. It is not a love of the truth. Now, some of you have paid a big price because you love the truth. And you know what? You will get the blessing of it. And you are giving your children something because you have made great sacrifices in this world for God. You're not pragmatic. You do not just do what you wanted to do because you wanted to do it, even though the Bible said you shouldn't do it. You decide, I'm going to obey the truth. And you know what? That is a rich heritage that you can give. You know, if you're a student of history, there was millions of people who died because they believed in believer's baptism by immersion. There were millions of people who became outlaws throughout the centuries because they refused to have their children baptized into the Roman, Holy Roman Empire as citizens. Not sure what pope it was, but what king it was of the Holy Roman Empire. He made the law somewhere around 575, and he said, children will be baptized into, you will become a citizen of the Holy Roman Empire when you baptize by baptism as a child. And of course, the people who believe the Bible wouldn't baptize their children as infants, and now the Christians became the outlaws. And ever since 575, around the world where the Catholic Church has great influence, the Christians lost the name Christian. And then they became known by whatever title their enemies gave them, whether it was the Lollards or whether it was the Waldensians or whether it was the Cathari, the Purists, or whatever it might be, Anabaptist, whatever. But they were all negative terms, cultic-type titles, because these people loved the truth, and they were willing to suffer for it. The love of the truth is something that is lost in these last days. But it is something that is so important today that there will be people who have a love for the truth of God's word. You know, young person or dad, you know what? You want your child to be able to think of you as a person that loved the truth, that you obeyed the Bible no matter what the cost, that you did not compromise truth for convenience sake, for miles sake, for whatever sake. You were going to put truth first. That's a great issue today. The whole Bible issue today is really based on that principle, the love of the truth. And people are blinded by it, but it's still, that is the issue today. Do you love the truth? Is that thing in you that says, you know what? The truth is what counts. Day of pragmatism. Matthew 9:36, Jesus saw the multitudes. He was moved with compassion. He that winneth souls is wise. Acts 8:4, and everywhere they went, they were preaching the word of God. I wonder, will our children remember us as people who love souls? Will our children remember us as someone who would always have a tract in our pocket, that we're thinking about souls? Will our children remember us as people who who talked to people and witnessed to people and were constantly seeking to bring people to Christ and bring people to church and influence them for God? That's like the Lord Jesus. He had a compassion on the multitude. That is a prize to give to our children. That is something worth giving to them. A love for souls. They need that influence. It will be a standard in their mind, in their heart, the rest of their life, if they can have in their mind, my dad loved souls. The result will be any time in their Christian life that they don't love souls, they immediately will recognize their backslidden condition. Because they have this image in their mind of their dad as a normal Christian, witnessing, passing out tracts. You know, a friend of mine preached a sermon. Never forget the title. It was a great title. Tells everything. Said the sermon title was Introvert, Extrovert, or Convert. I like that. You're not a soul winner because you're an extrovert. And there's no excuse to not be a soul winner because you're an introvert. Because we're all converts. Amen? And we have the power of the Spirit of God. We can be what we're not through Jesus Christ. You know, love for the local church. I think every time I heard Dr. Cedron preach, he preached on Matthew 16:18. I think I heard a couple other sermons. But I know if I would have gone to a church to visit, that he was visiting and he was preaching that Sunday, maybe once or twice, I am sure that he would preach on Matthew 16:18. I will build my church. He loved the church. You know what? Jesus loved the church. And he gave himself for it. The church he purchased with his own blood. Sung about the New Testament church. That's a great love that we can give to our children. In the day of interdenominationalism, day of individualism, love for the church. Invest our life into God's institution, God's program. You know, just a very simple truth. What is the spiritual legacy, dads, that we're giving our children? What is the spiritual legacy? That's what counts in life. Are we giving them? Are we impacting their life? Are we teaching them by our life? You know, some people just know that the first thing you do, whatever happens in life, is pray. Now, they might have got a jump start on it if they were in a praying home. And they saw mom and dad pray. And they saw God meet their needs through prayer. Obviously, every Christian can understand that and know that because it's taught in the Bible. But what a legacy to give. That we were people of prayer and that God answered our prayer. On this Father's Day, let's ask ourselves, what are we giving our children? You know, we are the good parents of the world. They're giving things to their children. There's a lot of good parents in the world. They aren't spiritual. They're giving things to their children. You know, if they're interested in sports, they're giving their children all sorts of opportunities in sports. If they're interested in the outdoors, they're giving their children all sorts of experiences in the outdoors. You know, if they're interested in music, they're giving their children all sorts of opportunities in music. You know, there's a lot of, quote unquote, good parents in the world. They're unsaved, and they're giving their children something. They understand that's a part of being a parent, giving their children something. But we have something that's far more important to give. Spiritual gifts, spiritual legacy. You know, ladies, you are giving a spiritual legacy. I think about when I was really considering 1 Timothy 2 for the first time in a real straight way about women's apparel. I thought a couple things. Well, three things. I thought about the president of our Bible college, Mrs. Cedarholm. I'd never seen her wearing a pair of pants. And I tried to envision her in my mind with a pair of pants on, and I said, I don't even want to think about it. Then I thought about my grandma, the only real person in my heritage that read the Bible. And I said, you know what? I never saw my grandma in a pair of pants. And then I envisioned my wife wearing a pair of pants. And I said, oh, I don't want to think about that. I want my wife to, in my mind, my wife is a godly person. I have this image of her. And as I study that passage, it talks about, you know, women professing godliness. You know, there's a legacy that we leave behind us by who we are. And it is worth a thousand words, millions of words, isn't it? It is priceless. It couldn't be replaced by almost anything. It's a very important legacy that we give to our children. We are influencing them. We are an influence. And you know, I think of Szilard and Zsófi's testimony from Hungary. Szilard had not been saved long. And they came over here on their honeymoon. And he said, you know, I had no idea what to expect. He said, but you know, I went to Maquonago Baptist Church and I found exactly the same spirit of our church. And he said, I thought all churches in the world were like this. Made an impression upon him. The love of the people for the Lord, the love of the people for the Bible, the wholesomeness of the ladies, changed his life forever. I think of Lydia Ola. I was just reminded of that. We're at Anako's, Vlastic's home, and we were on our way back to church, and Mrs. Anako said, you know, before Lydia came home, came to Maquonago, I was all alone. My husband was fighting what I believed. All my children were fighting what I believed. Lydia was fighting what I believed. I was all alone. And Lydia came to Maquonago. And she came because she wanted to come to America, but God did something far more than that. She came, and she came back changed. She says the first day she was back, she said, Mom, that top you're wearing is too low. You need to change it. And she said, you know, my daughter and I became like this with the Lord. Because a church 6,000 miles away had an impact on her life. And because of that young lady going back to Hungary, now there's four of them. Young ladies, two of them newly saved. And you would think, with that wicked culture over there, they'd be on the edge. Nope. Not on the edge. Not on the edge. In fact, I think they would almost be a notch above a lot of what's going on here. And you know who did it? The Holy Spirit. Because someone made an impact on their life for Jesus Christ. An impact of a life. Impact of seeing something. And we all have that opportunity of an impact on those around us. And you know, dads, we're always our son's father. We're always our children's father. We will always be their father. We will always have an impact on their life in some way. We have the opportunity to impact our children in spiritual realms. That is the greatest gift that we can give our children. Let's pray. Father, thank you for just the simple truth of the Word of God on this Father's Day. Lord, we're thankful for the great things that all of our fathers have given us. And now, Lord, we see, and some here have had the privilege of having Christian fathers who gave them something that was priceless. Most of us never had it, but we have an opportunity to give something that's priceless, that's eternal. And Lord, we need to be reminded of that, because the devil would want to defeat us. The devil would want to take our minds off of that truth, would like us to go in retreat and think that it doesn't influence anybody. But I pray that, Lord, that even tonight we would reinvest ourselves into giving our children something. Lord, increase our faith. Lord, increase our love of the truth. Lord, we need to be more people of prayer, people who see the miracles of God taking place. Our children need to see that. They need to see the reality of a living God in our lives and in our prayer life, in our homes. Lord, there's so many things that we can give our children because of Jesus Christ. And Lord, help us to see that tonight. May your Holy Spirit bring someone across the path to the side of deciding to be the influence of God that they can be for their children. Our heads are bowed and eyes closed. A very simple message tonight, but